Now then, our breakfast speaker, and I'm really grateful to Sir Tim Smith, because he's rushing off to Vancouver after this, taking a flight from Heathrow this afternoon to explore Eden Project possibilities there. And I know if it's anything like my travel arrangements, to have to come and do this in the middle of finding your passport and clean clothes and so on has probably been a bloody nightmare. So thank you very much indeed. I just have a recap. Sir Tim, obviously, is executive chairman of Eden Regeneration Limited and a founding director of the Eden Project, which we're enjoying today. Eden began as a dream in 1995 and opened its doors to the public in 2000. And since then, more than 15 million people have visited Eden, and it's contributed over £1 billion into the Cornish economy. In 2002, Tim was awarded an honorary CBE, and that was made substantive in 2012 when he became a British citizen. He's received many honorary direct doctorships and awards from all sorts of things. He's appeared on television and radio dozens of times, even had the honour of being on Desert Island Discs, which I I listened to again on BBC iPlayer the other day. Quite an interesting collection of songs, if you get a chance to listen to Sir Tim's choices. And I think for this audience, Tim, what will be of interest is your philosophy on life and what you've brought to Cornwall, and where you go from now with the experience of everything that the Eden Project has brought to you. And exploring opportunities in China and Canada, and you were telling me one on every continent, which would be absolutely amazing. I'll leave Sir Tim to tell you more about his recent successes and what he's going off to Canada to do. So it's my great pleasure, ladies and gentlemen, to introduce the founder of the Eden Project, social entrepreneur and all-round good egg for Cornwall, Sir Tim Smith. Thank you.
And welcome, everybody. Isn't it funny? Whenever friends describe anything that you do as interesting, it's usually because they hated it but don't know how to say it. You know. I was thinking about what to say in front of the home team, because this is the home team, because I never write speeches or anything. And I thought I'd reflect on watching a movie last week, which was a movie. For any of you who know anything about the music industry, you will have heard of a very famous recording studio called Muscle Shoals. Muscle Shoals is in Tennessee, in darkest, deepest Tennessee. I mean, it's almost impossible to get to. You can't even fly to Muscle Shoals. You fly to about 100 miles away and then have to catch a cab. And it was set up by a guy who was born with absolutely nothing, who just loved music. And he was a very gifted musician, and he turned out to be a very gifted recording engineer. And he decided, after having worked in the sugar fields, that he was going to buy a recording console and build a studio in Tennessee. And everybody said to him, why don't you go to New York? Why don't you go to San Francisco? He said, because I love Tennessee. And I'm going to make it so good that people will come. And everybody thought he was mad. And it became the world's number one recording studio. People were fighting to get in there. The record, they held a program recently where there were over 100 number one albums were recorded in this one studio. And they had a backing band in this studio of musicians who also didn't want to go to San Francisco or LA or New York. And you know what? They were so good. Everybody except people who lived in Muscle Shoals thought they were the best black band the world had ever seen. And they were all toothless white guys. That's no reflection on us in Cornwall, being toothless white guys. Although, I have to admit, I do really want to meet the UKIP voters of Cornwall, because I cannot believe we have any, bearing in mind we're about to have an enormous amount of money coming our way. But what this election has done for me in terms of reflecting on it, other than being delighted to be in what I think is perhaps the most glamorous village hall in Britain here, also made me despair of politicians and realise that the words they and it is us. When we say they should do something or it must be done, guys, it's us that are going to do it. Revolutions that need to be made have to be made by us. Luckily, we do have some fantastic resources here. And I just say to you that the privilege of my job has been that I've traveled to a lot of places that other people write about and say are cool or hip. You know, I've been to Freiburg. You know, I've been to Helgesby in Sweden to see these places that are supposed to be really good. I've been to see the Hot Rocks projects in Germany. And you know what these places have? It's not that they're any different to us. In fact, they're very like us. That's what I want to talk about. They're people who actually believe that other people are holding us back from being what we could be. When you go to these places, especially in Sweden, the whole town realizes that they are on the cusp of being what the new world is going to be about, and businesses are flocking to that place. We have only got 530,000 people here. We have a great university here. In fact, we've got several great universities here. We've got further education college that is as good as you can get in Britain. But we've got to be brave. With the European money that is coming our way, we've got to be brave. And we've got to dare to back business, because it's business that changes the world, actually, not politicians. To me, the greatest scandal that's going on in our society at the moment, you may not even thought about very much. Our media is controlled 100% by arts graduates. Isn't that disgusting? Why is that disgusting? The reason it's disgusting is that we are being sold day after day that we are going to hell in a handcart, that we are doomed, that society is in ferment. And yet we are living through a renaissance in the world of science so great it has never been achieved before. There has been more scientific invention over the last 25 years than in the whole history of humankind. And yet we believe we're doomed. Do you know what is on the horizon? Have you seen some of the things that are coming at us? The revolutions in medicine? The microbial, we're having an exhibition here which opens on the 21st called Invisible You, which we've done with the Wellcome Trust. Did you know that there is a madcap genius who spent a fortune analyzing the DNA of every microbe on the human body? Do you know that this same madcap guy is now saying that we have got 2,500 years of medicine all wrong? We are a living host. If you took an injection of any one of us and you were an alien looking through a giant microscope, you probably wouldn't even know that we were mammals. We have so many microbes on us. And yet we put all those soft gels, cleaning things we're marketed to have to want because we smell so bad, to kill them and make ourselves ill. The reason I say this is the same. Going to China has been an absolute revelation. I had the privilege of meeting one of the most successful businessmen in China, a guy called Mr. Zhu, who runs the biggest fruit producing and fruit juice companies in the world. He came here as my guest, and he said to me with a really doleful look on his face, "What is wrong with you Brits, allowing yourselves to elect a government that is investing in sunshine industries when we produce 30 million graduates a year in that field? And yet you are the world leaders, the world number one in plant science. Number one. And what do? We have a culture which looks at horticulture and agriculture as if the people who are in it are the third thickest son of the third thickest son. Oh, sons of the soil, ain't ye? Have people not fucking noticed that over the next 20 years, we are going to go from 6.5 billion people to probably nearly 10 billion people, and who is going to feed them? I said to the boss at Kew, stop being a limp dick. Why are you selling, oh, come do research at Kew, do this at Kew, do that at Kew? You should be standing up and saying, if the computer industries of the world clapped, it'd be sad. It'd be sad. If plant science died, billions will die. The reason I say that is because Cornwall is brilliantly placed, because we are not overpopulated. We have, I think Kim was saying, 1 in 5 of the adults of this county are running their own businesses. Is that right, Kim? The workforce running their own business. We have an incredible amount of individual people that could start to create revolutions, not just in technology. We're not all scientists. But we could start in areas of like shared economic resource. We have a group here called the Green Foundation with 300 companies that suddenly realize there's companies over here that have got really expensive photocopiers they're not using all the time. Trucks over there which are only being used 2 days a week and so on. In California, there's a whole range of businesses that are joining together to create a kind of capitalist cooperative. Wouldn't that be great if we could create as maximum benefit in our own community for our own people here and link it to the education infrastructure we've got here and to create a culture as if we were independent? I really mean it. I'm not a champion for independence per se. But the way I look at the world right now, I think when I look at people talking about the changes that are necessary, being 50 years, 100 years, I think they don't know. I feel like I'm watching pigs at a trough at a party, like changing the deck chairs on Titanic. We're living at a time when the they in the world is us. And if you don't think we can make a difference, well, I'm sorry. I think if we in Cornwall were able to create a loose alliance, a confederation of people with a vision of a future that is ours to make, that is about capitalism, but it's also about creating opportunity and being inquisitive and curious about the future and putting things into play, we could do the rest of Europe and the world by extension a great favour. Nothing serious then to talk about. But I wanted to say it because you very rarely get the chance to talk to so many influential people, because the people in this room put one giant bomb in here, and actually that's a whole heap of Cornwall's opportunity for the future gone. So I thought if I didn't say something serious that you might remember, I shouldn't have bothered to turn up this morning. So thank you very much.